Wow. Oh my. So we've been in this series now for 5 weeks about how to love your neighbor. We called it Engage because we want to just raise our awareness, heighten our involvement in the idea of engaging with our neighbors, the people that God has put on our path, where we work, where we play, where we live, and just really looking into what it really means to help people understand the love of God through the way that we live. And so we've had some really fun conversations, I think. We've talked about just talking with people, eating with people, caring for people. We've talked about praying for people. We've talked about serving them. We've talked about a whole bunch of different ways that we can show our neighbors the love of God. And so today we come to the final installment where we're going to talk about the word share. Specifically, sharing our faith in Jesus with others. Okay, so when I say that, how many of you think of Sheldon, right? How many of you think the idea, when you hear the idea of sharing or talking about your faith in Jesus, something rises up in you that's similar to the feeling you have of somebody just knocking on your door, right? And that awkward moment when the door gets opened. For some of us, that's what we think about when we think of the idea of talking to others about Jesus. That was certainly my experience as a young man working in a church. We had a system. We had a program every week where we would get together and we would get some names of people in our church and we would pair up in teams and off we would go to launch a surprise attack on them. That's what it was, right? They didn't know we were coming. We didn't want them to know we were coming. But the goal was to show up on their doorstep. And when they answered, we would go through a prepared spiel, and the point of it was to get them to let us into their home. The thing is, nobody really wanted that to happen, right? No, I mean, the people opening the door didn't want it to happen. I didn't want it to happen. Because I'd be standing on their doorstep, and I would be scared to death. Well, inevitably, some people couldn't make enough excuses to get us to go away, and they'd invite us into their house. And what would ensue can only be described as the most awkward, uncomfortable several minutes of my life. I hated it. I'm pretty sure they hated it. And the point of it, well, it was kind of like a sales call. You know, it was trying to get them to agree to some things that I had written out on a piece of paper. So, if that's been your experience, either opening the door or knocking on the door, when we talk today about sharing your faith in Jesus, it might stir up some of that anxiety. And it might be something like that that's even kept you from talking to others about Jesus. Others of you don't have that experience, and maybe when we talk about sharing your faith in Jesus, you think, oh my goodness, this just sounds like getting into an endless series of debates with people about subjects that I'm not sure they even end up being all that important, right? Or maybe it just feels like one of those things that you've come to the feeling of, why would anyone ever talk to somebody else about this, right? Like, this is so deeply personal. Well, wherever you are on the spectrum, whatever your experience has been talking about Jesus, here's one thing that we know. Most of us don't do it. In fact, the vast majority of people who call themselves Christians never talk to anyone about their faith in Jesus. But today what I want you to see is that talking to others about Jesus is actually a very important part of what it means to love your neighbor. It's not the only part, and I don't want you to think today that since it comes at the end of our series that it's like everything else is a setup for this part. No, what I want you to understand is that when we love our neighbors in the right way, the right time, we will talk to our neighbors about our faith in Jesus. Jesus' final words to his friends, His final words to his followers after his resurrection, before he returned to heaven, are these. Matthew chapter 28. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And these words we have called for so long in the church, the Great Commission. This idea that Jesus has handed over his mission to his followers. From the very beginning, the idea has been that if you're a follower of Jesus, you're engaged in the mission of helping other people find and follow Jesus. And these words, this idea, has fueled movements. It's fueled church planting movements and missions movements around the world and church strategies. But the thing I want you to see today is that these words speak to the individual experience of every person who follows Jesus. Because when Jesus said these words, he said them to 11 dudes. That was it. There were no churches. There were no missions organizations. There were no evangelistic crusades. There were just 11 guys, some other people connected to them, who had decided to believe that Jesus was the Messiah and to follow him with their life. And this is what Jesus intended from the very beginning for each of those individuals, to be involved in this idea of sharing their faith in Jesus with others. And the reason that he tells us that, and the reason that it's important to us, and the reason it's part of loving your neighbor is simply because of that word love, right? It's because when we love people, we want them to know, we want them to experience the life that comes from Jesus Christ. And so, it's incumbent upon us to share about Jesus with others. It's normal. It's the expected behavior. It isn't something optional for Christians. It isn't something left to the advanced who have degrees and special training. No, sharing about Jesus with others is part of what it means for everyone to be a follower of him. The problem is, like I said, most of us don't do it for whatever reason. And today I'd like to explore some of that and see if we can come up with some ways to overcome the anxiety that we have, or to overcome the stereotypes maybe that we've formed, or to just help be encouraged with what it really means to talk about our faith in Jesus with others. And I want you to do it with me in a story in the life of Jesus where he actually shows us, he actually gives us a model for how to talk about him with others. John chapter 1 is where we're going to be today. John chapter 1. It begins with a guy named John, who's the Baptist, who's this prophetic guy who preached repentance to the people of Israel and told them, one day the Messiah is coming and you got to get ready. And so here's where we pick up the story. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples, and when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." So this is John the Baptist saying to two of his followers, "Hey, look, there's the guy I told you about." All right? And so then this funny thing happens. At least I think it's funny. Verse 37. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Right? So John was not really very skilled at building his own organization, because he kept saying things that caused his followers to leave him and go follow Jesus. But that's all right. It helps for our purposes today. It's going to actually be very helpful. So these two guys, they decide they're going to follow Jesus because of what John has said about them, right? And so notice what happens. This is verse 38. Turning around, Jesus saw them following, and he asked, "What do you want?" Now, usually when I hear people like me talk about this passage, you know, they imply that this is Jesus turning around and looking deeply into the souls of these two guys. And in like a Jesus voice saying, "What do you want?" You know, like in that way that's at the very deepest level. I like to think it was more like you and me, like he's walking along and all of a sudden two guys are behind him. He's like, "What do you want?" He's going to do Jesus judo on him or something, you know. That's probably not it either. It's probably somewhere in the middle, you know, where Jesus realizes there's two people walking behind him. And he turns around and he just asks them, "What do you want?" And this is what they say. They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Now see, in my Jesus judo scenario, that could be a dangerous thing. Like, they want to know where you live. But in Jesus' day, that meant, "I want to be with you. We want to follow you. We want to know what you're all about. We want to know you." That's what they're saying. And so, Jesus responds to them in a very profound way, and it's going to be the thing that is the kind of the overarching principle of what it means to help someone find and follow Jesus. Because when they say, "We want to follow you to your house," this is what Jesus says to them. "Come," he replied, "and you will see." Jesus, where are you staying? What are you all about? How can we get to know you? And Jesus simply says to them, "Come and you will see." He does not say, "Sit down and listen. Before you go any farther, let me explain a whole bunch of stuff for you. Let's have a Bible study." That is not what he says. He simply says, "Come, come with me, come along and see for yourself." And I think Jesus at that moment just turned around and kept walking. Okay? And we're going to see this idea of "come and see" get repeated over and over again in this passage, which is how we know this is Jesus' way of saying there's something in here about how it works when you talk to others about Jesus. Before we go any farther, I'm going to make a giant disclaimer, because I know some of you are way ahead of me, right? You're really smart. And as soon as you heard Jesus say, "Come and see," you kind of knew where this was headed, and you thought, "Hey, we're going to have a big talk today about getting people to come to church," right? Because that's typically how, as Christians, we talk about this idea of what it means for somebody to come to Jesus. Let's get them to come to church. And today, I want you to take that thought, and I want you to set it over here, set it aside, okay? Because that's not what Jesus is talking about. We'll come back over here, don't worry. But for now, I want you to set this aside, and don't fill it up with the kinds of experiences that maybe you've had in church where you've said, listen, all you have to do to talk to somebody about Jesus is get them into church, and someone else will tell them about Jesus, because that's not what he's saying. Good? Disclaimer over. Okay, so Jesus just says to these guys, "Come and see," and then this is what happens in the rest of verse 39. So they went, and they saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. And it was about 4 p.m. So they follow Jesus. They hang around. We have no idea what they did. Don't know what Jesus said. Don't know what they saw. We don't know what went on. But it was enough that by 4 p.m, these guys are compelled. And notice what they do. Next verse. Andrew, who is Simon Peter's brother, he was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. So their come and see experience with Jesus, it was so compelling that the first thing they do, the first chance they get, Andrew goes and shares about his experience with Jesus with other people. That's what he did. He goes to Simon Peter, and he's really just Simon yet. He hasn't become Peter yet, but the writer is giving you a clue that this is a very important person. Andrew goes to him, and what does he do? He shares his experience with Jesus with him, right? That's what he does. He says, "Hey, we think we found the Messiah. What we've experienced in the presence of Jesus is so compelling that we think he's the Son of God. We think he's the Christ." And that's super important, right? They shared about their experience with Jesus. So when we talk about sharing our faith in Jesus with other people, I want you to see it starts here. It starts with sharing our own experience. Andrew didn't go to Simon and say, "Sit down. I got to give you a lecture. I got to tell you some things. No, he just says, let me tell you what I have found. Let me tell you about my experience. And so when you begin to share with people about your faith in Jesus, always start there. Start with your own experience, right? You might be in a conversation with somebody and you might say, yeah, you know, I've suffered a lot of loss in my life, and I found that my faith in Jesus has been really helpful to me at walking through it. Okay? Or you might say, yeah, you know, I've struggled for a lot of years with being on track or being off track with God. But every time I come back to God, Jesus is there and he grants me his forgiveness and helps me keep going, right? We share about what we have experienced with Jesus. And it's okay, actually it's preferable when you do that to share your own weaknesses or your own struggles, even your own doubts with people. Because when you talk about your experience with Jesus in ways that seem unrealistic to people, it makes it harder for them to believe you, right? So if you share with people and say, listen, I was a terrible husband. I was the worst husband in the world. But man, ever since I met Jesus, I'm the best. I'm the best husband ever, right? What are they going to say? That seems unlikely, right? So don't be afraid to share your experience with Jesus in a way that makes Jesus the hero instead of you. You might even say to someone, yeah, there have been plenty of times in my life when I've had doubts about God, about whether he's good or about whether he's there, about whether he cares. But every time I take those doubts to Jesus, he has given me faith, right? And maybe there's a scripture verse that's been important to you, or there's some way that you share with people that this is how Jesus has helped me and met me in that time. And I think what you'll find is that it helps people see Jesus more than they see you. All right, so that's that first step. Share your own experience with Jesus. But notice, too, who it is that Andrew shared that experience with. Did you notice that? It was with his brother. It was with Simon, who was his brother. In other words, he shared his experience with Jesus with somebody that he knew. He didn't just go up to some random dude on the sidewalk and say, hey, I think we found the Messiah. Everybody, let's go. Right? He went to somebody who knew him, somebody he had a relationship with, somebody who understood the context of his life and what he meant when he was talking about this. And I think that is super important when it comes to us sharing our faith in Jesus with other people. Share with people you have a relationship with, right? If a new neighbor moves into your street, don't just go up to them on the first day and launch the Jesus talk on them, right? The first time somebody steps into your office, don't just hit them with the Jesus talk. They're going to think you're crazy. And they're not going to know or think that you care for them. And that's an important step in the whole process. We've been talking for weeks now about how you demonstrate and build relationships with people, and you demonstrate your care for them by talking with them, by serving them, by showing them that you're genuinely and sincerely interested in them, in their life, in their experience. And then, in the context of that relationship, there is a time when you can say, I want you to know about my experience with Jesus, or I want you to know the place that my Christian faith plays in my life or in what I've experienced. And it makes a world of difference. I think that's what made my door-to-door experiences, for me, super awkward and super uncomfortable. There was no relationship. It was all about a program. It was all about trying to get them to agree to some things and trying to convince them to do something. It had nothing to do with my relationship with them. And they knew it, and I knew it, and it was painful. All right, so share your experience with Jesus with people that you know, right? With the people God is putting in your path that you are loving and serving and building relationship with. And then the third step is this: invite them to come along with you. Invite them to come along with you and see for themselves. That's what Andrew shares with his brother, right? He says, this has been my experience with Jesus. I think you might find it helpful. Notice what he does in verse 42. It says, and he brought him to Jesus. It doesn't use the exact words that Jesus used, come and see, but that's what he does. He says, come along with me, see for yourself. And that is a hugely helpful and important step in the idea of sharing your faith in Jesus with others. Andrew was so compelled that he brought Simon with him to Jesus. Andrew wanted him to know what Jesus was all about, right? And so he says, come and see, just like Jesus said to him. Jesus said to him, well, come and see for yourself. And now he turns around and he does that for Simon. Come and see for yourself. He did not invite his brother to believe in Jesus right on the spot. Do you notice that? He didn't try to explain everything to him. He invited him to come along and to see. And then he went to the step of bringing him along. This is so important. When you've developed a mutually caring relationship with someone and with you, and when you share with them your own experience with Jesus, the next step is to invite them to come along with you. With you. To see what Jesus is all about. To experience who Jesus is and how he works and to do it on their own. Come along with you. If you're going to share your faith in Jesus with someone, you have to be willing to invite them into your life, into your path, into your circles. Come along with me. And then the fourth part is to let Jesus do his part, right? That's what Andrew does. He tells him of his experience with Jesus. He tells Simon. He brings him along, and then he lets Simon have his own experience with Jesus. That's the end of verse 42 there. Right? He comes to Jesus, Simon does, and Jesus looks at him and says, hey, you're Simon, son of John. You'll be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. We don't get a lot of other details, but you sense in this just this little verse here that this is Simon, who becomes Peter, having his own encounter with Jesus, right? The point of this is to remember that there's part of this process of sharing your faith in Jesus with someone else that you can't do. And that is open someone's eyes in faith to Jesus. You can't do that for them. You can't do that to them. That's something Jesus does. And you know what? He's pretty good at it. He's pretty good at it. That's why the emphasis is come along with me and see for yourself who Jesus is, how he works. Doesn't mean Jesus isn't going to use you to explain stuff, to talk about stuff, to wrestle with things, to pray. But it does mean the outcome of that process is up to him, and he can handle it. And that'll help relieve a lot of the anxiety. I know when I first started sharing my faith in Jesus with people, I felt this tremendous burden and this tremendous pressure. What if I did it wrong? What if I say the wrong thing, and then that made it so somebody would never believe in Jesus? Or what if I forget to talk to the person today and then they don't have any other buddy in their life and no one talks to them about Jesus? And I want you to see here that there's a spiritual process at work that you play a part in, but that Jesus handles. And you can trust him for that. So let Jesus do his part. All right, so to reinforce this real quickly, I want you to see how this pattern repeated itself. Jesus said to Andrew, come and see. Andrew turns around to Peter and says, come along and see. The very next day, the same thing happens. Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, it says, and he finds Philip and he says, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. So Philip, Jesus knows him somehow, and he says, come, why don't you come with us? We're about to go. Before they leave, notice what Philip does. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So before he even takes a step on the road, Philip goes and finds somebody that he knows, Nathanael, somebody he has a relationship with, and what does he tell him? He tells him about his experience with Jesus. We've found the one we think Moses was talking about. My experience with Jesus has been so compelling that I believe he's the one the prophets told about. That's what he says, right? Says that to Nathanael. Well, notice what Nathanael does in verse 46. He says, Nazareth? Can anything good come out of there? Nathanael asked. You know, it's like Cleveland, right? Who? And what does Philip say? Philip says, sit down, let me give you a Bible study about how important the city of Nazareth is in the prophetic plan of God and all that it means. No. He says, come and see. Come along with me and see for yourself if it's true. Right? I mean, it's right there in these verses. It happens three times. Jesus says, come and see. Andrew says, come and see. And now Philip, come and see. And that leads to this experience. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. And Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. That's like some Jesus mojo. I saw you, you know. And it leads Nathanael to this experience. Next verse. Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. Right? You see what happened? Philip said, Nathanael, come along with me. Come into my circle. Come and see how Jesus works. And Nathanael has his own encounter with Jesus that leads to his faith. And I think that's how it works. Share your experience with Jesus with people that you know. Invite them to come along and see for themselves. And let Jesus do his part. All right? Okay, now let's end with this. So where do we bring people? Where do we invite people to come along and see Jesus? Right? Remember my disclaimer? A lot of times we think that's church. If I'm going to get somebody to see Jesus, I'll bring them along to church, and somebody standing on the stage or somebody in an event or somebody at a concert, they'll tell my friend about Jesus. I want you to see that may work for some people, but in your life, what's going to be most effective as you share your faith with others is to think about this question. Where is Jesus today? A lot has changed since John chapter 1, when Jesus was physically present. And when you said to somebody, come along and see Jesus, you literally brought them to Jesus, right? Where is Jesus today? He's not physically present on this earth. He's in heaven. And he is present in this earth in you. In you. Right? This is why we teach our little ones. When you believe in Jesus, he comes into your heart. He lives in you through his Spirit. And the primary place where people see Jesus today is in you, in your life. The presence of Jesus manifests itself in the way that you speak and think and love and care and act. And in the way that they see Jesus being the hero in your life. So when you invite someone to come along and see, you're inviting them into your life to see Jesus at work in you. Okay? And that's so important because I don't ever want you to think that the responsibility, the privilege of sharing about Jesus with others is somebody else's responsibility. It's yours. Because Jesus is in you. But also, we need to remember that we live in a time where so many people are so completely resistant to the idea of coming to church. And so, sometimes for really good reasons. Maybe they've had a very bad experience. You know, they've seen or experienced abuse at the hands of religious people, or they've witnessed the gross hypocrisy that sometimes occurs. Maybe they've been ostracized, shunned by people, kind of like Kristen talked to us last week about her friend, you know, whose opinion of Christians was shaped by the way she was treated by other Christians. Or maybe the idea of church in someone's life has just been shaped by our culture, which is increasingly wary of church. But for whatever reason, we know today that so many more people are unwilling to jump at the chance to go to church. But they will jump at the chance to experience the genuine love of God through a real live friend. Speaking of friends, that can be very helpful in bringing people along to see Jesus at work. Another place that people can come and see Jesus and the life that he offers is among your friends. It's very helpful to love and to serve people together with your friends, to help them see the multitude and various ways that Jesus is the hero in people's life, and to keep you from feeling the burden of having to be the sole expression of God to somebody, right? You can share that task with your friends and give them the opportunity to see how God is at work among you. So maybe you've got a group that goes out to coffee together or plays golf together or sits on the soccer field together. And when you invite somebody to come along and see, you're inviting them into your circle. That's so important. And then, of course, finally, it's good. It's fine. It's right to invite people to see Jesus at work in your Christian community, in your church. But recognize that that is not a first answer for so many people. But in order to come to that place in a relationship with someone where you invite them to come along and see God at work in your Christian community, you have to be willing, you have to be committed to bringing them along with you. Don't ever invite somebody to go to your church. You invite them to come along with you, to sit in your row, to meet your friends, to have coffee with you in the shop. Because that's where people see Jesus. And that's how he's designed it to work. Come along with me and see. So invite people to come along and see. To experience Jesus first in you, then among your friends, and ultimately even in your church. And watch God work in the lives of people. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we want to take seriously this commission you give to us all to be a part of the process of helping others find and follow you, to find life, to find grace, to find forgiveness like we did. And God, in the last few weeks, we've been growing in our awareness of the people that you've put in our path that you want us to love and to serve and to pray for and to eat with. And now, God, we add to our prayers. Show us, Lord, who it is that is ready for us to share about you with. And grant us the courage to share of our own experience with them. And Lord, give us the conviction to be willing to bring them along with us. And we'll trust that when they see you at work, in us and in our friends, that they'll have an encounter with you. And you'll convince them of who you are and how good it is to know you. And we'll rejoice in the opportunity. So go with us this week, God, and grant us your faith and courage. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
ears to hear today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated.
Penny! 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 This is for you.
Hello, Sheldon.
Hi.
Penny. Penny. Penny.
Sheldon?
I have an inflamed larynx.
Penny. Penny. Penny.
You do realize I stand on the other side of the door waiting for you to finish knocking three times.
I know. I can see the shadow of your feet under the door. Penny. Penny.
What?
Penny. Zucchini bread.
Oh, thank you.
May I come in?
No.
Penny, 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 penny,
Sheldon.
Penny.
Sheldon.
Penny.
Wow. Oh my. So we've been in this series now for 5 weeks about how to love your neighbor. We called it Engage because we want to just raise our awareness, heighten our involvement in the idea of engaging with our neighbors, the people that God has put on our path, where we work, where we play, where we live, and just really looking into what it really means to help people understand the love of God through the way that we live. And so we've had some really fun conversations, I think. We've talked about just talking with people, eating with people, caring for people. We've talked about praying for people. We've talked about serving them. We've talked about a whole bunch of different ways that we can show our neighbors the love of God. And so today we come to the final installment where we're going to talk about the word share. Specifically, sharing our faith in Jesus with others. Okay, so when I say that, how many of you think of Sheldon, right? How many of you think the idea, when you hear the idea of sharing or talking about your faith in Jesus, something rises up in you that's similar to the feeling you have of somebody just knocking on your door, right? And that awkward moment when the door gets opened. For some of us, that's what we think about when we think of the idea of talking to others about Jesus. That was certainly my experience as a young man working in a church. We had a system. We had a program every week where we would get together and we would get some names of people in our church and we would pair up in teams and off we would go to launch a surprise attack on them. That's what it was, right? They didn't know we were coming. We didn't want them to know we were coming. But the goal was to show up on their doorstep. And when they answered, we would go through a prepared spiel, and the point of it was to get them to let us into their home. The thing is, nobody really wanted that to happen, right? No, I mean, the people opening the door didn't want it to happen. I didn't want it to happen. Because I'd be standing on their doorstep, and I would be scared to death. Well, inevitably, some people couldn't make enough excuses to get us to go away, and they'd invite us into their house. And what would ensue can only be described as the most awkward, uncomfortable several minutes of my life. I hated it. I'm pretty sure they hated it. And the point of it, well, it was kind of like a sales call. You know, it was trying to get them to agree to some things that I had written out on a piece of paper. So, if that's been your experience, either opening the door or knocking on the door, when we talk today about sharing your faith in Jesus, it might stir up some of that anxiety. And it might be something like that that's even kept you from talking to others about Jesus. Others of you don't have that experience, and maybe when we talk about sharing your faith in Jesus, you think, oh my goodness, this just sounds like getting into an endless series of debates with people about subjects that I'm not sure they even end up being all that important, right? Or maybe it just feels like one of those things that you've come to the feeling of, why would anyone ever talk to somebody else about this, right? Like, this is so deeply personal. Well, wherever you are on the spectrum, whatever your experience has been talking about Jesus, here's one thing that we know. Most of us don't do it. In fact, the vast majority of people who call themselves Christians never talk to anyone about their faith in Jesus. But today what I want you to see is that talking to others about Jesus is actually a very important part of what it means to love your neighbor. It's not the only part. And I don't want you to think today that since it comes at the end of our series that it's like everything else is a setup for this part. No, what I want you to understand is that when we love our neighbors in the right way, the right time, we will talk to our neighbors about our faith in Jesus. Jesus' final words to his friends, his final words to his followers after his resurrection, before he returned to heaven, are these. Matthew chapter 28. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And these words we have called for so long in the church, the Great Commission. This idea that Jesus has handed over his mission to his followers. From the very beginning, the idea has been that if you're a follower of Jesus, you're engaged in the mission of helping other people find and follow Jesus. And these words, this idea, has fueled movements. It's fueled church planting movements and missions movements around the world and church strategies. But the thing I want you to see today is that these words speak to the individual experience of every person who follows Jesus. Because when Jesus said these words, he sent them to 11 dudes. That was it. There were no churches. There were no missions organizations. There were no evangelistic crusades. There were just 11 guys, some other people connected to them, who had decided to believe that Jesus was the Messiah and to follow him with their life. And this is what Jesus intended from the very beginning for each of those individuals, to be involved in this idea of sharing their faith in Jesus with others. And the reason that he tells us that, and the reason that it's important to us, and the reason it's part of loving your neighbor is simply because of that word love, right? It's because when we love people, we want them to know, we want them to experience the life that comes from Jesus Christ. And so, it's incumbent upon us to share about Jesus with others. It's normal. It's the expected behavior. It isn't something optional for Christians. It isn't something left to the advanced who have degrees and special training. No, sharing about Jesus with others is part of what it means for everyone to be a follower of him. The problem is, like I said, most of us don't do it for whatever reason. And today I'd like to explore some of that and see if we can come up with some ways to overcome the anxiety that we have, or to overcome the stereotypes maybe that we've formed, or to just help be encouraged with what it really means to talk about our faith in Jesus with others. And I want you to do it with me in a story in the life of Jesus where he actually shows us, he actually gives us a model for how to talk about him with others. John chapter 1 is where we're going to be today. John chapter 1. It begins with a guy named John, who's the Baptist, who's this prophetic guy who preached repentance to the people of Israel and told them, one day the Messiah is coming and you got to get ready. And so here's where we pick up the story. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples, and when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." So this is John the Baptist saying to two of his followers, "Hey, look, there's the guy I told you about." All right? And so then this funny thing happens. At least I think it's funny. Verse 37. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Right? So John was not really very skilled at building his own organization, because he kept saying things that caused his followers to leave him and go follow Jesus. But that's all right. It helps for our purposes today. It's going to actually be very helpful. So these two guys, they decide they're going to follow Jesus because of what John has said about them, right? And so notice what happens. This is verse 38. Turning around, Jesus saw them following, and he asked, "What do you want?" Now, usually when I hear people like me talk about this passage, you know, they imply that this is Jesus turning around and looking deeply into the souls of these two guys. And in like a Jesus voice saying, "What do you want?" You know, like in that way that's at the very deepest level. I like to think it was more like you and me, like he's walking along and all of a sudden two guys are behind him. He's like, "What do you want?" And he's going to do Jesus judo on him or something, you know. That's probably not it either. Probably somewhere in the middle, you know, where Jesus realizes there's two people walking behind him. And he turns around and he just asks them, "What do you want?" And this is what they say. They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Now see, in my Jesus judo scenario, that could be a dangerous thing. Like they want to know where you live. But in Jesus' day, that meant, "I want to be with you. We want to follow you. We want to know what you're all about. We want to know you." That's what they're saying. And so Jesus responds to them in a very profound way, and it's going to be the thing that is the kind of the overarching principle of what it means to help someone find and follow Jesus. Because when they say, "We want to follow you to your house," this is what Jesus says to them. "Come," he replied, "and you will see." Jesus, where are you staying? What are you all about? How can we get to know you? And Jesus simply says to them, "Come and you will see." He does not say, "Sit down and listen. Before you go any farther, let me explain a whole bunch of stuff for you. Let's have a Bible study." That is not what he says. He simply says, "Come. Come with me, come along, and see for yourself." And I think Jesus at that moment just turned around and kept walking. Okay? And we're going to see this idea of come and see get repeated over and over again in this passage, which is how we know this is Jesus' way of saying there's something in here about how it works when you talk to others about Jesus. Before we go any farther, I'm going to make a giant disclaimer, because I know some of you are way ahead of me. Right? You're really smart. And as soon as you heard Jesus say, "Come and see," you kind of knew where this was headed. And you thought, "Hey, we're going to have a big talk today about getting people to come to church." Right? Because that's typically how as Christians we talk about this idea of what it means for somebody to come to Jesus. Let's get them to come to church. And today, I want you to take that thought and I want you to set it over here, set it aside. Because that's not what Jesus is talking about. We'll come back over here, don't worry. But for now, I want you to set this aside. And don't fill it up with the kinds of experiences that maybe you've had in church where you've said, listen, all you have to do to talk to somebody about Jesus is get them into church. And someone else will tell them about Jesus. Because that's not what he's saying. Good? Disclaimer over. Okay. So Jesus just says to these guys, "Come and see." And then this is what happens in the rest of verse 39. So they went, and they saw where he was staying, And they spent that day with him, and it was about 4 p.m. So they follow Jesus, they hang around. We have no idea what they did. Don't know what Jesus said, don't know what they saw, we don't know what went on. But it was enough that by 4 p.m, these guys are compelled. And notice what they do. Next verse. Andrew, who is Simon Peter's brother, he was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." That is, the Christ. So their come and see experience with Jesus, it was so compelling that the first thing they do, the first chance they get, Andrew goes and shares about his experience with Jesus with other people. That's what he did. He goes to Simon Peter, and he's really just Simon yet. He hasn't become Peter yet, but the writer is giving you a clue that this is a very important person. Andrew goes to him, and what does he do? He shares his experience with Jesus with him, right? That's what he does. He says, "Hey, we think we found the Messiah. What we've experienced in the presence of Jesus is so compelling that we think he's the Son of God. We think he's the Christ." And that's super important, right? They shared about their experience with Jesus. So when we talk about sharing our faith in Jesus with other people, I want you to see it starts here. It starts with sharing our own experience. Andrew didn't go to Simon and say, "Sit down, I got to give you a lecture. I got to tell you some things." No, he just says, "Let me tell you what I have found. Let me tell you about my experience." And so when you begin to share with people about your faith in Jesus, always start there. Start with your own experience, right? You might be in a conversation with somebody and you might say, "Yeah, you know, I've suffered a lot of loss in my life, and I found that my faith in Jesus has been really helpful to me at walking through it." Okay? Or you might say, "Yeah, you know, I've struggled for a lot of years with being on track or being off track with God. But every time I come back to God, Jesus is there and he grants me his forgiveness and helps me keep going," right? We share about what we have experienced with Jesus. And it's okay, actually it's preferable when you do that, to share your own weaknesses or your own struggles, even your own doubts with people. Because when you talk about your experience with Jesus in ways that seem unrealistic to people, it makes it harder for them to believe you, right? So if you share with people and say, "Listen, I was a terrible husband. I was the worst husband in the world. But man, ever since I met Jesus, I'm the best. I'm the best husband ever," right? What are they going to say? That seems unlikely, right? So don't be afraid to share your experience with Jesus in a way that makes Jesus the hero instead of you. You might even say to someone, "Yeah, there have been plenty of times in my life when I've had doubts about God, about whether he's good or about whether he's there, about whether he cares. But every time I take those doubts to Jesus, he has given me faith," right? And maybe there's a scripture verse that's been important to you, or there's some way that you share with people that this is how Jesus has helped me and met me in that time. And I think what you'll find is that it helps people see Jesus more than they see you. All right, so that's that first step. Share your own experience with Jesus. But notice, too, who it is that Andrew shared that experience with. Did you notice that? It was with his brother. It was with Simon, who was his brother. In other words, he shared his experience with Jesus with somebody that he knew. He didn't just go up to some random dude on the sidewalk and say, "Hey, I think we found the Messiah. Everybody, let's go." Right? He went to somebody who knew him, somebody he had a relationship with, somebody who understood the context of his life and what he meant when he was talking about this. And I think that is super important when it comes to us sharing our faith in Jesus with other people. Share with people you have a relationship with, right? If a new neighbor moves into your street, don't just go up to them on the first day and launch the Jesus talk on them, right? The first time somebody steps into your office, don't just hit them with the Jesus talk. They're going to think you're crazy. And they're not going to know or think that you care for them. And that's an important step in the whole process. We've been talking for weeks now about how you demonstrate and build relationships with people, and you demonstrate your care for them by talking with them, by serving them, by showing them that you're genuinely and sincerely interested in them, in their life, in their experience. And then, in the context of that relationship, there is a time when you can say, I want you to know about my experience with Jesus, or I want you to know the place that my Christian faith plays in my life or in what I've experienced. And it makes a world of difference. I think that's what made my door-to-door experiences, for me, super awkward and super uncomfortable. There was no relationship. It was all about a program. It was all about trying to get them to agree to some things and trying to convince them to do something. It had nothing to do with my relationship with them. And they knew it, and I knew it, and it was painful. All right, so share your experience with Jesus with people that you know, right? With the people God is putting in your path that you are loving and serving and building relationship with. And then the third step is this: invite them, but invite them to come along with you. Invite them to come along with you and see for themselves. That's what Andrew shares with his brother, right? He says, this has been my experience with Jesus. I think you might find it helpful. Notice what he does in verse 42. It says, and he brought him to Jesus. It doesn't use the exact words that Jesus used, come and see, but that's what he does. He says, come along with me, see for yourself. And that is a hugely helpful and important step in the idea of sharing your faith in Jesus with others. Andrew was so compelled that he brought Simon with him to Jesus. Andrew wanted him to know what Jesus was all about, right? And so he says, come and see, just like Jesus said to him. Jesus said to him, well, come and see for yourself. And now he turns around and he does that for Simon. Come and see for yourself. He did not invite his brother to believe in Jesus right on the spot. Do you notice that? He didn't try to explain everything to him. He invited him to come along and to see. And then he went to the step of bringing him along. This is so important. When you've developed a mutually caring relationship with someone, and with you, and when you share with them your own experience with Jesus, the next step is to invite them to come along with you. With you. To see what Jesus is all about. To experience who Jesus is and how he works, and to do it on their own. Come along with you. If you're going to share your faith in Jesus with someone, you have to be willing to invite them into your life, into your path, into your circles. Come along with me. And then the fourth part is to let Jesus do his part. Right? That's what Andrew does. He tells him of his experience with Jesus. He tells Simon. He brings him along. And then he lets Simon have his own experience with Jesus. That's the end of verse 42 there. Right? He comes to Jesus, Simon does, and Jesus looks at him and says, hey, you're Simon, son of John. You'll be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. We don't get a lot of other details, but you sense in this just this little verse here that this is Simon, who becomes Peter, having his own encounter with Jesus, right? The point of this is to remember that there's part of this process of sharing your faith in Jesus with someone else that you can't do. And that is open someone's eyes in faith to Jesus. You can't do that for them. You can't do that to them. That's something Jesus does. And you know what? He's pretty good at it. He's pretty good at it. That's why the emphasis is, come along with me and see for yourself who Jesus is, how he works. Doesn't mean Jesus isn't going to use you to explain stuff, to talk about stuff, to wrestle with things, to pray. But it does mean the outcome of that process is up to him, and he can handle it. And that'll help relieve a lot of the anxiety. I know when I first started sharing my faith in Jesus with people, I felt this tremendous burden and this tremendous pressure. What if I did it wrong? What if I say the wrong thing, and then that made it so somebody would never believe in Jesus? Or what if I forget to talk to the person today, and then they don't have any other buddy in their life, and no one talks to them about Jesus? And I want you to see here that there's a spiritual process at work that you play a part in, but that Jesus handles. And you can trust him for that. So let Jesus do his part. All right, so to reinforce this real quickly, I want you to see how this pattern repeated itself. Jesus said to Andrew, come and see. Andrew turns around to Peter and says, come along and see. The very next day, the same thing happens. Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, it says, and he finds Philip and he says, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. So Philip, Jesus knows him somehow, and he says, come, why don't you come with us? We're about to go. Before they leave, notice what Philip does. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So before he even takes a step on the road, Philip goes and finds somebody that he knows, Nathanael, somebody he has a relationship with, and what does he tell him? He tells him about his experience with Jesus. We've found the one we think Moses was talking about. My experience with Jesus has been so compelling that I believe he's the one the prophets told about. That's what he says, right? Says that to Nathanael. Well, notice what Nathanael does in verse 46. He says, Nazareth? Can anything good come out of there? Nathanael asked. You know, it's like Cleveland, right? Who? And what does Philip say? Philip says, sit down, let me give you a Bible study about how important the city of Nazareth is in the prophetic plan of God and all that it means. No. He says, come and see. Come along with me and see for yourself if it's true, right? I mean, it's right there in these verses. It happens three times. Jesus says, come and see. Andrew says, come and see. And now Philip, come and see. And that leads to this experience. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. That's like some Jesus mojo. I saw you, you know. And it leads Nathanael to this experience. Next verse. Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. Right? You see what happened? Philip said, Nathanael, come along with me. Come into my circle. Come and see how Jesus works. And Nathanael has his own encounter with Jesus that leads to his faith. And I think that's how it works. Share your experience with Jesus with people that you know. Invite them to come along and see for themselves. And let Jesus do his part. All right? Okay, now let's end with this. So where do we bring people? Where do we invite people to come along and see Jesus? Right, remember my disclaimer? A lot of times we think, that's church. If I'm going to get somebody to see Jesus, I'll bring them along to church, and somebody standing on the stage or somebody in an event or somebody at a concert, they'll tell my friend about Jesus. I want you to see that may work for some people, but in your life, what's going to be most effective as you share your faith with others is to think about this question. Where is Jesus today? A lot has changed since John chapter 1, when Jesus was physically present. And when you said to somebody, come along and see Jesus, you literally brought them to Jesus, right? Where is Jesus today? He's not physically present on this earth. He's in heaven. And he is present in this earth in you. In you. Right? This is why we teach our little ones. When you believe in Jesus, he comes into your heart. He lives in you through his Spirit. And the primary place where people see Jesus today is in you, in your life. The presence of Jesus manifests itself in the way that you speak and think and love and care and act. And in the way that they see Jesus being the hero in your life. So when you invite someone to come along and see, you're inviting them into your life to see Jesus at work in you, okay? And that's so important because I don't ever want you to think that the responsibility, the privilege of sharing about Jesus with others is somebody else's responsibility. It's yours because Jesus is in you. But also, we need to remember that we live in a time where so many people are so completely resistant to the idea of coming to church, and so sometimes for really good reasons. Maybe they've had a very bad experience. You know, they've seen or experienced abuse at the hands of religious people, or they've witnessed the gross hypocrisy that sometimes occurs. Maybe they've been ostracized, shunned by people, kind of like Kristen talked to us last week about her friend, you know, whose opinion of Christians was shaped by the way she was treated by other Christians. Or maybe the idea of church in someone's life has just been shaped by our culture, which is increasingly wary of church. But for whatever reason, we know today that so many more people are unwilling to jump at the chance to go to church, but they will jump at the chance to experience the genuine love of God through a real live friend. Speaking of friends, that can be very helpful in bringing people along to see Jesus at work. Another place that people can come and see Jesus and the life that he offers is among your friends. It's very helpful to love and to serve people together with your friends, to help them see the multitude and various ways that Jesus is the hero in people's life, and to keep you from feeling the burden of having to be the sole expression of God to somebody, right? You can share that task with your friends and give them the opportunity to see how God is at work among you. So maybe you've got a group that goes out to coffee together or plays golf together or sits on the soccer field together. And when you invite somebody to come along and see, you're inviting them into your circle. That's so important. And then, of course, finally, it's good. It's fine. It's right to invite people to see Jesus at work in your Christian community, in your church. But recognize that that is not a first answer for so many people. But in order to come to that place in a relationship with someone where you invite them to come along and see God at work in your Christian community, you have to be willing, you have to be committed to bringing them along with you. Don't ever invite somebody to go to your church. You invite them to come along with you, to sit in your row, to meet your friends, to have coffee with you in the shop. Because that's where people see Jesus. And that's how he's designed it to work. Come along with me and see. So invite people to come along and see. To experience Jesus first in you, then among your friends, and ultimately even in your church. And watch God work in the lives of people. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we want to take seriously this commission you give to us all to be a part of the process of helping others find and follow you, to find life, to find grace, to find forgiveness like we did. And God, in the last few weeks, we've been growing in our awareness of the people that you've put in our path that you want us to love and to serve and to pray for and to eat with. And now, God, we add to our prayers. Show us, Lord, who it is that is ready for us to share about you with. And grant us the courage to share of our own experience with them. And Lord, give us the conviction to be willing to bring them along with us. And we'll trust that when they see you at work, in us and in our friends, that they'll have an encounter with you. And you'll convince them of who you are and how good it is to know you. And we'll rejoice in the opportunity. So go with us this week, God, and grant us your faith and courage. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Can we thank Pastor Dave this morning?